You are Locked On Rockets, your daily Houston Rockets podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Ho-hum. How sweet it is to feel routine. With that, welcome back to another episode and a new week. Happy Sunday, by the way, of Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast commentary on Houston Rockets basketball. As always, I'm your host, Ben DuBose, Rockets correspondent with Sports Talk 790, the team's official radio flagship in Houston. As mentioned off the top, the Rockets on Saturday night at Toyota Center got it done in routine fashion, winning 132-112 over the Sacramento Kings. It's the Rockets' fourth consecutive victory and seventh in nine games. The Kings have fallen to 8-8. They entered 8-6. They're a much improved team, but the schedule did them no favors. A rough road back-to-back, first in Memphis Friday night, then Saturday night in Houston. Nonetheless, credit to the Rockets for taking care of business in a big way. James Harden led the way, 34 points, 8 assists, 10 of 17 from the field. Chris Paul, 24 points, 9 assists, 7 of 9 shooting, including 6 of 8 from behind the arc. Clint Capella, 23 points, 16 boards, a team best plus 24 in the plus minus. One game after, his backup, Isaiah Hartenstein, led the way with plus 27 in the plus minus against the Warriors. Clint Capella followed up with, in my opinion, his best game of the young 2018-2019 season. Gerald Green got his first rotation minutes back after missing a couple games with a sprained ankle. He had 17 points in just 14 minutes. Eric Gordon, 11 points, 5 assists in his 29 minutes. Really just a feel-good night for the Rockets across the board. P.J. Tucker had 9 and 8, 4 of 9 from the field in his 30 minutes. Really, it was just a sound night across the board, which you would expect considering the Rockets scored a season-high 132 points. I especially liked James Harden converting on 6 of his 7 shots inside the arc, also all 10 of his free throws. He made 4 of 10 threes, which is quality, but what we saw early in the year, him struggling at the rim, that's improving. The same for his free throws. Chris Paul, Clint Capella, as mentioned earlier, they were dynamic. We'll talk about them more as we move our way through our normal 3-point recap. But here off the top, I want to talk about how impressive this is for the Rockets collectively as a team. Because coming off that big win over the Warriors on Thursday night, and really three consecutive games in which the Rockets had won by double digits against winning teams. I know the Sacramento Kings entered tonight at 8-7, also a winning team. But look, the Rockets, I know they were 7-7, and the Kings technically had a better record before the game. Kings, as I mentioned, falling to 8-8, Rockets at 8-7 following the win. But on paper, this is a game where the Rockets just look like the better team. And it would have been easy, especially after the week they've had and some of the issues we've seen with effort early in the year, for them to coast. They went out from the get-go, and especially offensively, they put the hammer down. Now, you might look at the Kings scoring 112 points and wonder if the defense kind of relapsed a little bit after so many games holding opponents to 100 points or below. I don't really believe that. The Kings play at a breakneck pace. They entered the game second in the league overall in pace, so I think 132-112, it's less about the game being offensive-minded, and it's more the Kings play such a frantic up-and-down pace that it just lends naturally to the game having a lot more possessions than it normally would. So it's less a reflection of the Rockets' defensive effort, more just a natural byproduct of the pace at which the game is played. Generally, the Rockets took this game very professionally, very seriously. This is what we saw a year ago over the 82-game grind. It doesn't matter who the opponent is. You play yourself. You look to your own standard. And that's what the Rockets did tonight. They had three straight games against very quality opponents, likely playoff teams in Indiana, Denver, and Golden State. The Kings, even though they had a good start, they're probably not going to be a playoff team. It doesn't matter. The Rockets, if they're what we expect them to be, they should take care of business. And they did, winning by 20 points. And coupled with the Warriors losing 112-109 in Dallas, all of a sudden, after that awful start, the Rockets 1-5 after 6 games, 4-7 just a week ago after 11 games, all of a sudden, the Rockets in the all-important loss column are a whopping 2 games back of the Golden State Warriors for the number one seed in the Western Conference. This could have been so much worse, but the Rockets persevered. And at this point, make no mistake about it, I think it's safe to say the Rockets are back. 4 in a row, 7 of 9, all four of the wins in this current streak by double digits. If there's one thing you worried about all season long, it's that when the Rockets won, they were scraping by. They were beating teams like Brooklyn and Chicago, bad opponents, but by single digits. A lot of the losses, you think back to the home games, they fell to Portland and the Clippers, and they were getting blown out. To this point, they actually still are the only team in the current Western Conference playoff picture with a negative point differential, and that reflects early in the year. And so even though they were 4-7 a week ago, you were wondering, when do the true Rockets show up? Because the Rockets from a year ago, they took every game seriously. The point differential didn't lie. Well, again, now we have seen four straight double-digit victories, all against teams that entered with a winning record. Three of them, Indiana, Denver, Golden State. I think we'd all be very surprised if they are not playoff teams at the end of the year. Golden State, the consensus favorite. These are the Houston Rockets that we expected, and we heard it from Mike D'Antoni after the game. He said this could have been a trap game. Coming off the big win over Golden State, it would have been so easy collectively to say, you know what, it's a Saturday night against the Sacramento Kings, we should win this game anyway, there's not another game until next Wednesday, so they have a long time off, that's against the Pistons, and they're going to be at home for an extended time period. It would have been so easy to go on cruise control. They did not. Both ends of the floor, the Rockets executed very well. As mentioned, I don't really think the defense slipped. I think the 132-112 final was more a result of just the frantic pace at which the Kings play. The Rockets, they set the tone from the beginning. They scored 71 points in the first half, led by double digits at the break, and really were never threatened. The Kings were never within single digits in the second half. Every time they got cut it to 12-15, the Rockets quickly had an answer to push it back to 20. And the most feel-good nature of all of it to me, if you had any concerns about the Rockets going into this game in terms of the season as a whole, you might worry a little bit about Clint Capela. Well, he had his finest game of the year, 23 points, 16 rebounds. I thought he moved his feet very well on the perimeter, also played a game-high 35 minutes. James Harden, we mentioned earlier, he struggled some this year finishing at the rim. Well, he was 6 of 7 inside the arc, also made all 10 of his free throws when getting fouled. You worry a little bit, are the Rockets, given everything that happened with Carmelo Anthony and then the injury to Gerald Green, are they too thin because they've been playing an 8-man rotation over the past week? They're trying to get back to the form they were at a year ago, which means just the starters plus Gary Clark and Isaiah Hartenstein and Eric Gordon off the bench. Well, tonight with Gerald Green back healthy, he played 14 minutes. And when Gerald had played to start the year, his jumper seemed a little bit broken, his form awful. Tonight, in his 14 minutes, he scored 17 points, made 5 of his 8 threes, 6 of 10 overall, and more than just making shots, he's eating minutes so that no one played more than 35. We've seen games in this streak where Chris Paul and James Harden were in the upper 30s, PJ Tucker was pushing 40, no one pushed 35 tonight, and this is a game in which the Rockets now enter with three consecutive off days. So it wasn't just that they won, it's collectively they brought it on both offense and defense. They took care of business. Yeah, the Kings are not, they're probably not as good as their record. They're a little bit ahead of themselves. They do have some quality young players, De'Aaron Fox, Buddy Hield, Willie Cauley-Stein, Marvin Bagley, but they're not quite as good as that hot start to the year might indicate, and it is a second night of road back-to-back. Nonetheless, this is a game in which it's not easy to take care of business. That's exactly what the Rockets did, improving to 8-7 on the year, but more importantly, 4 in a row, 7-9 overall, and now there is just a whopping 2 games of separation between the Rockets and the Warriors in the loss column. After all of that, it's a whopping 2 games of separation, and we're not even to Thanksgiving yet. Yeah, I would say that the Rockets have survived their rough stretch, and regardless of how they found it, I think we can say that they are back on their feet, and the expectations we had before this rocky start to the season, I think they're fully intact. Everything the Rockets wanted in mid-October entering this season, yeah, it started a lot rougher than we anticipated, but it is all right there waiting for them, and they seem to be playing their best basketball in some time. Are they in the form from a year ago, 65 wins, and what had them basically a hamstring away from the title? I don't know about that. Time will tell. But they certainly seem like one of the league's class teams yet again. And kudos to Mike D'Antoni and all the players for persevering through the rough start and getting them to a place collectively where I think they feel they have their swag back, as many of them said following the game. Now, I wanted to spend this first segment discussing the Rockets collectively as a team, their resilience, and of course the gap in the Western Conference that's now shrunk to 2 games between the Rockets and the Warriors, because in the grand scheme, that's what matters. But there were some individual standouts tonight, and one of them is a guy that I think has been given a little too much criticism early in the year, including from myself, and that's Clint Capela. Tonight, he was magnificent. 23 points, 16 boards, game high 35 minutes. He's increased his stamina, as I've said, a lot this year, and kudos to him for that. 16 boards, which was just dominant, 5 blocks, plus 24, which led the way. He was a force. The Kings have a lot of athletic young bigs, Willie Cauley-Stein, Marvin Bagley, but none of them have the sand in the shorts, to borrow a Matt Bullard term, that Clint Capela has. And if you've been a listener to me at Locked On Rockets for a while, there's kind of a misnomer with Mike D'Antoni that I've pointed to a lot in terms of his history with Greg Popovich. And when you look back to their playoff series, because one reason why I don't put too much stock in the old D'Antoni-Popovich rivalry is because when he had those Suns teams with Amari Stoudemire at the five that were so revolutionary, I thought Tim Duncan was the perfect foil for that Suns group stylistically. And where I'm going with that with Clint Capela, Duncan, he wasn't quite as athletic as Amari Stoudemire in that front line they had in Phoenix, but he was really close. He could somewhat match them athletically, but he was just a lot tougher and more physically imposing. And while I'm certainly not going to compare the current Sacramento Kings, although they are very quick, to Mike D'Antoni's Phoenix Suns, what I do think is a fair analogy is the speed at which their bigs play. Willie Cauley-Stein, Marvin Bagley, to a lot of the current bigs in the NBA. The Kings, the second fastest pace in the league entering Saturday's game, and the 132-112 final reflects that. Well, Clint Capela, he's nearly that athletic, but he is a lot tougher. And this is a game where you would expect Clint, because he's not going to be overwhelmed athletically by the speed of the game, but he is a lot tougher around the rim. This is one in which you expect him to shine, much the same way that Tim Duncan did in those infamous Spurs-Suns playoff series from over 10 years ago. No, I'm not comparing Clint Capela to Tim Duncan. What I'm saying is stylistically, it is reminiscent of some of those matchups. And yes, it's one game out of 82, but it's nice to see Clint go out and execute to that level. Because early in the year, I did think that he was struggling. Maybe it was the hand and foot injuries he had in the preseason. Maybe he entered a touch too heavy. But for various reasons, even though his topical numbers in terms of points and rebounds were fine, it didn't feel like he was moving his feet on the perimeter, especially on switches, as well as he did a year ago. I don't know if he's quite all the way back there, but he is much, much better. We even saw him hold his own Saturday night against the likes of De'Aaron Fox and Buddy Hield. But what was most telling was how many points he had in transition. There were 17 assists combined between James Harden and Chris Paul, and so many of them were because Clint Capela was leading the break the other way, and sometimes even beating the very athletic Sacramento front line down the floor. Now, Chris Paul did have a game-high 8 turnovers. James had 6. I think when they were up 20 points, they did try a few passes that were a bit too risky. But generally speaking, the fact that Clint's motor and his fitness was so good that he was able to beat even an uber-athletic Sacramento team up and down the floor, and also several times he beat him back. A couple of his 5 blocks came in very memorable transition sequences. It speaks to the level of fitness that he is playing with. Not just 35 minutes, but 35 high-energy minutes, flying up and down the floor against players younger than he is. I know Clint's just 25. Well, the Kings have guys that are younger than that. And I don't know if it's fair to say that Thursday was a bad game for Clint Capela. Again, the Rockets beat the defending champions by 21 points. It's hard to poke holes. But 10 points, 10 rebounds. We did it on 3 of 9 shooting. And it should be noted that his backup, Isaiah Hartenstein, is the guy who ended up with a team best plus 27. Well, Isaiah and Clint are never playing together. So to some extent, when Isaiah has that level of plus minus, it reflects that the Rockets are playing a little bit better when Clint isn't in the game. And against the Warriors, it's somewhat understandable. The way the Golden State Warriors play, it makes it tough for any traditional center in a lot of these matchups to hold his own for extended periods. That's just the nature of the beast. And it was a one-off, because the 2 games before that, against the Pacers, Clint had 18-7 against Miles Turner on 8 of 9 from the field. Against the Nuggets, against Nikola Jokic, he had 24 points, 9 rebounds, 11 of 15 from the field, 36 minutes in high altitude. So the Golden State game, even though, and he still had a double-double, it's important to note, he has a, quote, off game, and he still has a double-double in 29 minutes against the defending champs. But 3 of 3 from the field, and it's not what you would expect. Now, in terms of free throws, he made all 4 of those. That was important. But it wasn't what we've come to expect from Clint this year. To see him bounce back the very next night, now for the 3rd time in 4 games, since that San Antonio game, even then he had 17 boards, but San Antonio was just ugly overall for the team. That's when they fell to 4-7. Since then, the Rockets appear to have collectively flipped the switch for whatever reason, and now they've won four in a row since, all by double digits. I don't know if it's fair to say that Clint played poorly against Golden State, especially in a game that the Rockets just blew out the defending champions, but there was some adversity, and to see him bounce back the very next night against a Sacramento Kings team with even younger athletes in Cauley-Stein and Bagley that wanted to run, and to see Capella be able to run with them, yet take advantage of them on the interior because of how strong and physically imposing he was, that's what veteran bigs do. And I know Clint Capella, it still feels like he's so young. I said he was 25 earlier. I was wrong. He's still 24. He's still growing. Yet, this is his fifth year. He's been there, done that. He succeeded in the playoffs, even against guys like Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert. And for all the young talent of the Sacramento Kings, they've been bad for so many years. They've accumulated a ton of high draft picks. They don't have that experience that even at 24 years old that Clint Capella has. Kudos to him for taking advantage of that. And in my opinion, that's a big part of how the Rockets were able to get this win. Now, ultimately, they did make 20 of 47 threes. That's over 42%. For the game, the Rockets shot 46 of 81. That's 56.8% from the field. But a lot of that came because Clint Capella made 11 of his 14 shots. Early on in the game, the Rockets were not that hot from three, and it would have been easy to say, this isn't really going our way, except Clint Capella, with his relentless energy, his ability to clean up messes, to get easy buckets, it never allowed the Rockets to drift into a mode where they felt dependent on the three-pointer. There was always something easy that they could get, and maybe to some extent it's because the Kings are a little tired playing on the second night of a back-to-back. Whatever it is, this is the kind of matchup where Clint Capella needs to physically impose himself. Kudos to him for doing that. 23 points, 16 assists, 5 blocks. He almost had the highlight of the year, a crazy spin move in which he nearly finished the spin move with a left-handed dunk. Unfortunately, he missed it. But I think it speaks to the degree of fitness, the athleticism, the coordination. It's all coming together for Clint. He was a little slow to start the year. Maybe he was a touch heavy. Maybe it had to do with the preseason injuries. Whatever it may be, that seems long behind him now. He seems in peak form, and with it, the Rockets have their big three, the same grouping of Chris Paul, James Harden, and Clint Capella that was so dominant a year ago, I believe, going 44-5 in their 49 games together. That's the version of the big three we've seen over the past week, and to no coincidence, the Rockets are 4-0 in those games and have now won 7 of 9 overall, improving to 8-7 on the year with this 132-112 victory. Final point I want to get to, we've been talking about Clint Capella because he's someone that we've called on, especially recently. He wasn't at his best in the Golden State game, 10-10 with 3 of 9 shooting overall to step up, and he did in Saturday night's 132-112 win over the Sacramento Kings. But a guy who continued his recent surge is Chris Paul. If you remember, before last Saturday's game in San Antonio, Chris had gone through a stretch in which he had three consecutive scoreless first halves, and overall in those three games, he was 0 of 13 from three. And we did see evidence, he had a wrap on his shooting elbow after the game, that it could be physical-related injury. But when you're talking about a guy who's 33 years old and his 14th year in the NBA, and you've just given out a $160 million contract to over 4 years, there's always, at the beginning of every season, going to be some aging concerns until he eliminates those. I think that just comes with the territory. Look, Carmelo Anthony, we've talked a lot about Carmelo and what went wrong and what didn't go right. I don't know if it's so much what went wrong with Carmelo, it's just he wasn't enough of the solution for the Rockets. But a lot of it's not that he wasn't trying, he's just 34 years old and you're 16. And he's not what he used to be athletically. Now, I don't expect Chris Paul to have the same level of fall off because his game is much more cerebral-based than Carmelo Anthony. But nonetheless, age 33, year 14, there are not that many point guards that have lasted at an elite level that long. So until he proves he can do it, there's going to be a little bit of skepticism. Even coming off a year in which he led the NBA in real plus-minus and was dominant in the playoffs, looked like that just a top 10 player, but even a top 5 player when it mattered against the Jazz in the semis and the Warriors in the Western Conference Finals until his hamstring injury. That said, he did have a rough stretch to start the year. We said it should be correctable because Chris Paul, not just him, James Harden, Eric Gordon. By the way, Eric Gordon hit, three threes tonight. I know he shot 11 of them, but for Eric, I think it's good to just see the ball go through the bucket. Of course, he needs to get more efficient, but back-to-back games, making three-pointers, that's a big deal in its own right. But back to Chris. He had the tough start to the year, but there was evidence first with kind of his wrist area of his shooting arm, then his elbow, but he said he'd be all right, and boy, has he. In his last five games, starting last Saturday night, he is 18 of 30, 60% from three. Saturday night, he was 6 of 8. I don't care who you're defended by, it's tough to shoot that well in practice from NBA three-point range. And yet he's doing it in NBA games. Yeah, he's going to be just fine. You look at his last five games, he's averaging nearly 19 points a game, mentioned 60% from three, nearly 53% overall, and he's doing it in 33.6 minutes per game until tonight. The rotation was really cut short with everything going on with Carmelo Anthony and then with the Gerald Green injury. Majority had the eight-man rotation. Well, physically, he's held up. His shooting is rounding into form. He did have the eight turnovers tonight, and that needs to get cleared up. But even with the eight turnovers tonight, that five-game stretch we're referencing, he's still only averaging 3.2 turnovers per game, and that's with the eight on Saturday night, which speaks to how well he's taken care of the ball otherwise. The previous four games, two turnovers, three turnovers, two turnovers, one turnover. So no, I'm not going to worry too much about Chris Paul and the turnovers in the game. The Rockets led by 15 to 20 points for the vast majority of the game. No, I'm going to worry much more about his shooting form. And we have seen five consecutive games now where from behind the arc and overall, he's feeling it. He's going to be just fine. We saw Thursday night against the Warriors when he was switched on to a big. He had the ability to still dig back, dig deep, and hit that turbo button to blow by the slower-footed bigs. That's something you also wonder about when he's 33 years old. He's been moving well the last couple of games, even with the higher minutes, as well as I've really seen him in his time in Houston. So to see him look healthy, to see the stroke look good, him hitting his threes. If Chris Paul and Clint Capela are fine, and then we mentioned James Harden having another MVP night, there's no other way to put it, 34 points, 8 assists, 10 of 17 from the field in 34 minutes. If the big three are the big three, then the Rockets, they're going to be just fine. The question to start the year was whether James Harden had the help. Now, there was a, especially coming off the hamstring injury, I think it was injury-related in James's case, where he needed to make more shots, especially right at the rim. But generally speaking, James Harden has been himself. The question has been with the supporting cast. But with Chris Paul and Clint Capela rounding into form, you still don't quite have Eric Gordon where he needs to be efficiency-wise. But again, it's amazing how you can buy time when some of your supporting cast are doing their jobs. And when you have all three of James Harden, Chris Paul, and Clint Capela clicking, yeah, this is the Rockets. I know they're 8-7, and if you had told me this, that they'd be 8-7 through 15 games before the year started, I would have wondered if something was wrong. Well, whatever was wrong has been fixed. If Clint Capela and Chris Paul are healthy and giving you this level of production, a combined 18 of 23 in Saturday's win over the Kings, yeah, the Rockets are, they're not just going to be fine. They're going to be a lot better than fine. They're going to be the version that has now won four consecutive games, 7-9, and looks an awful lot like the group that went 65-17 and became a juggernaut in the Western Conference this past season. So on that positive note, this is where we will leave off. As always, I appreciate y'all so much for tuning in. If you want more content before our next show, the best place to get it is on Twitter. I'm on there at Ben Dubose. The show is on there at Locked On Rockets. Beyond that, we also have a Facebook account, facebook.com/LockedOnRockets, a website, LockedOnRockets.com, an email address, LockedOnRockets@gmail.com. All those are ways you can access our prior content. You can ask me questions about the team, make suggestions for the show, advertising inquiries, pretty much whatever you can do to make this a better podcast for you, the diehard Rockets fan. I would absolutely love to hear from you and attempt to do that. Also, if you have not listened to our sister show, Locked On Texans, please do. Wherever you listen to Locked On Rockets, iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, Megaphone, TuneIn, Spotify, etc., etc., the odds are you can find Locked On Texans as well because we're part of a great network of shows covering the NBA, the NFL, even Major League Baseball and college sports here at the Locked On Podcast Network here in Houston, of course. That's not just the Rockets, but the Texans. Later today, the Texans have a big game against NFC East leader Washington. Win or lose, my friends Robert Land and Brian Patterson will have you covered at Locked On Texans, and you can listen to them at the same places as mentioned that you can find Locked On Rockets. In addition to listening, if you could leave both Locked On Rockets and Locked On Texans a 5-star review and subscribe. That's how, well, number one, you'll get episodes right when they come out. But secondly, that's how we can look attractive to potential advertisers and keep the business model working here at Locked On Rockets and Locked On Texans, the most regular podcast covering these two great Houston teams. So once again, the happy final from Toyota Center Saturday evening. Rockets 132, Kings 112. Rockets have won 4 in a row, 7 of 9. They now have a well-deserved period of 3 consecutive days off before Wednesday night's home game against the Detroit Pistons, the night before Thanksgiving, Thanksgiving Eve, if you will. We will have shows before then, of course, because we are your home for daily coverage of Houston Rockets basketball, but fortunately, the Rockets will have some time off. In the meantime, I'll look to gear up some interviews about what we have learned from the Rockets in this dramatic turnaround, again, 4 games in a row and 7 of 9 that the Houston Rockets have won. So on that positive note, enjoy the remainder of your weekend. Have a good abbreviated Thanksgiving week, I hope. And again, thanks for listening to me here at Locked On Rockets, your home for daily podcast coverage of Houston Rockets basketball.